Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUSCast, Armed Career Criminal Act and Serious Drug Offense Edition. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On February 26, 2020, in a 9-0 decision, the Supreme Court decided Shuler v. United States, rejecting the defense argument that Florida's unique drug laws cannot be used to enhance a federal sentence. At issue was a federal statute known as the Armed Career Criminal Act, which imposes a mandatory 15-year sentence on defendants convicted of federal firearms-related felonies if they have three or more prior convictions for, quote, serious drug offenses or violent felonies. In 2017, local law enforcement officers executed a search warrant at the Florida home of Eddie Shuler, who was the target of a drug trafficking investigation being conducted by the DEA. During the search, the officers seized a firearm from a bedroom closet. Because Shuler was a convicted felon, he was charged under federal law with the crime of being a felon in possession of a firearm. He pled guilty to that offense, and because he had more than three prior convictions for serious drug offenses, he was sentenced to the mandatory minimum of 15 years in prison under the applicable federal statute. He appealed his sentence, arguing that because under federal law none of his state convictions would qualify as a serious drug offense, because the relevant state laws did not require that the government prove that Shuler had knowledge of the illicit nature of the substance, and the Florida crimes were therefore broader than the generic drug offense analogs under federal law. The 11th Circuit upheld his conviction and sentence, rejecting the application of the categorical approach to defining serious drug offenses and holding that the ACCA definition requires only that the predicate offense involve certain activities related to controlled substances. The Supreme Court affirmed, holding that the phrase serious drug offense requires only that the state offense involve the conduct specified in the statute and does not require that the state offense in question match certain generic drug offenses under federal law. The opinion was written by Justice Ginsburg, with Justice Kavanaugh filing a concurring opinion. And now, to discuss the case, we have Gregory Brower, shareholder at Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, and Schreck.
Shuler versus United States is a case about the Armed Career Criminal Act of 1984. It's a federal law that I have interestingly followed the evolution of since I was U.S. Attorney in Nevada back in the second Bush administration. I argued a few Ninth Circuit cases while I was U.S. attorney, and one happened to be an ACCA case, and so I've followed the evolution with some interest since then. So in this case, it concerned the methodology courts use to apply the definition of serious drug offense in the federal law known as the Armed Career Criminal Act, or as I mentioned a moment ago, ACCA, as it's known by practitioners. At issue was whether Mr. Shuler was subject to a mandatory 15-year minimum sentence as opposed to a lesser sentence under the ACCA law. A little bit of background about the case. Shuler was a subject of a cocaine trafficking investigation down in Florida. Following three separate controlled buys by the government at his home, a warrant was obtained to search the residence, and during the course of that search, a firearm was found, along with a significant amount of cocaine and related paraphernalia. A federal grand jury in the Northern District of Florida charged Shuler with one count of possession of cocaine with the intent to distribute, and charged him with one count of possession of a firearm by a felon. Shuler pled guilty to both counts and was sentenced. It was the sentence that was imposed by the district court judge that led this case to the Supreme Court. Under ACCA, a felon in possession offense carries a substantially greater sentence range, that is 15 years to life, if the defendant has three previous convictions for a violent felony or a serious drug offense, as defined in 18 U.S.C. 924. And as I mentioned at the outset, this case was about the serious drug offense part of ACCA. Because Shuler had six prior drug offenses under Florida law, a probation office calculated his guideline range in the federal case for both counts to be between 180 and 235 months, or a minimum of 15 years. The district court agreed and under ACCA did sentence Shuler to 15 years. Shuler appealed, the 11th Circuit affirmed, and Shuler successfully sought Supreme Court review based upon the fact that the court deemed there to be a circuit split, with the 9th Circuit recently having decided the United States versus Franklin case, in which it applied a different analysis and test under ACCA than did the 11th Circuit in this case. So on appeal to the Supreme Court, Shuler argued that the district court erred in concluding that his Florida drug offenses constituted serious drug offenses under ACCA. He argued that because the court did not apply the correct, in his view, the correct categorical approach to the analysis, meaning that only state offenses that categorically match their generic analogs satisfy the statute. So that was Shuler's argument to the Supreme Court. The government argued that the 11th Circuit was correct in determining that Shuler's prior convictions under Florida law were in fact serious drug offenses under the federal ACCA law. DOJ's argument was relatively simple. The government argued, A, that ACCA defines serious drug offense to include an offense under state law involving the manufacturing, distribution, or possessing with intent to manufacture or distribute a controlled substance. And that involving language, that word involving, we'll get to a little bit later, that's right out of ACCA. And that was key to the government's argument and ultimately to the court's decision. DOJ also argued that the subject Florida statute under which Shuler was convicted provided that it is, I'm paraphrasing here, it is unlawful to sell, manufacture, deliver, or possess a controlled substance. So arguably, substantially the same sort of violation between the underlying state convictions and the federal law in question. DOJ argued that the 11th Circuit was correct in finding a conviction under the subject Florida law satisfied the ACCA definition, and so the 15-year mandatory minimum enhancement applied. So far, it seems like a pretty simple case, but it gets a little bit more complicated. Shuler argued that only state offenses that contain a specific mens rea element can satisfy the ACCA definition of serious drug offense. He argued that under the categorical approach adopted by the Supreme Court in the Taylor case, to determine whether a prior state conviction was for a violent felony, a court must identify a generic analog, and that same approach should apply to drug cases as well. The Supreme Court articulated the question presented as follows. Does the ACCA's serious drug offense definition call for a comparison to a generic offense? The court decided that the answer is no, holding instead that the serious drug offense definition requires only that the state offense involve the conduct specified in the federal statute. Now, the court acknowledged again that there was a split, at least between the 11th and the 9th circuits, and as a result, granted review in this case. In this case, in Shuler, the parties, as the court made clear in its opinion, agreed that the enhancement in ACCA requires a categorical approach, but pointed out in its opinion that the parties disagreed on the details or exactly what type of categorical approach should be applied. As I mentioned a moment ago, Shuler argued for a generic offense matching exercise wherein the court would define the elements of the generic offense and then compare them to those elements of the state offense. The government's view was that a court should simply ask whether the state offense in question includes the type of conduct in the federal definition of serious drug offense. In this case, the court found that the government's interpretation was the correct one, given that the statutory text of 924 and the context mandated the conclusion that Congress likely intended that ACCA be applied to all offenders who engaged in certain conduct, in this case, the distribution or attempted distribution of a controlled substance. There was also a rule of lenity argument proffered by Mr. Shuler. He argued that the ambiguity of the statute required that the rule of lenity be applied. The court found no such ambiguity for the rule of lenity to resolve. And in fact, this rule of lenity argument did caused Justice Kavanaugh to write a separate concurrence in which he emphasized why the rule of lenity didn't apply. Justice Kavanaugh sort of gave a shout out to the late Justice Scalia's views on the rule and when it should and should not be applied. In short, Justice Kavanaugh emphasized that the court has repeatedly held that there must be not just some ambiguity in the relevant statute, but, quote, grievous ambiguity, end quote, before resorting to the application of the rule of lenity. And so having listened to the oral argument in the case, it was interesting because, if I didn't mention it at the outset, this was a 9-0 decision with Justice Ginsburg writing for the court, and despite his concurrence, Justice Kavanaugh joining as well, obviously. And while we see plenty of 9-0 decisions each term, rarely do we see cases in which the court seems so unified in its inability to understand the petitioner's argument. And that was certainly the case here, having listened to the oral argument. From Justice Alito to Justice Sotomayor, the court seemed to be unified in, you know, to the point that one wonders why cert was granted. The explanation, of course, as I mentioned, is that there was at least a minor split between two circuits. And in fact, during oral argument, as oral argument went on, the court and specifically Justice Breyer seemed to be intent on raising some hypotheticals, somewhat far-fetched hypotheticals that put the government lawyer on his heels a little bit in an effort to explain why they were far-fetched hypotheticals. But it seemed to be more of an exercise by Justice Breyer than any kind of serious doubt on his part as to the correctness of the government's position in the case. And so overall, not the most significant criminal law case of the term, but one that probably, at least for now, puts to bed any question about which categorical approach should be applied to ACCA cases. And with a 9-0 unanimous decision, resolves the small split between at least two circuits.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.